Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today our guest is comedian Elijah Howard. Good afternoon, Elijah. How are you doing? Hello? Good afternoon, Elijah. How are you doing? Hello? Elijah Howard?
Hello?
Hello, listeners. Sorry about that. I'm having a little technical difficulties. Tonight we have comedian Elijah Howard. Elijah Howard is from Los Angeles, California. He is a stand-up comedian. Listeners, you're in for a treat, so get ready to get your laugh on. All right. Hi, Elijah.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. I was just telling my listeners to get ready to get the laugh on.
Hopefully I can provide them with some of that. You know, that would be great.
Okay. Elijah Howard, you are from Los Angeles, California, right?
That's no, ma'am. Yeah, that's why I spend 6 to 7 months out of the year promoting myself and building my brand. But I'm originally from Mobile, Alabama, and then I moved to Ann Arbor, Michigan to finish up my schooling.
Oh, so, that is wonderful. Mobile, Alabama. I have relatives in Alabama. Okay, Mobile, as a matter of fact.
I believe you.
You believe me?
I believe you.
Okay. Okay, let's go into the questions. Who has influenced your comic style?
Basically, it's kind of odd, but society has influenced my comedy style. But as for one individual, there's so many different great comedians. Obviously, Richard Pryor is the greatest of all time. So just his demographic, you know, like Richard Pryor made everybody laugh. And that's why he has touched so many of us, no matter what race you are. And I always try to encourage myself and other African-American comedians to not necessarily forget about the black audience, but you're black, so they should always be there. I mean, like, if you're funny and you're working hard, I mean, you shouldn't have to work so hard to capture the black audience. I mean, like, you know, you know, to make any money, you need to really, really build your brand and have a wide spectrum of customers. If you want to be successful.
That is true. Yeah. You have to build your brand. That is so true. I thank you for saying that. So why did you become a comedian? And how long have you been a comedian, a professional comedian?
Okay. Well, the good thing is I can answer both of those. I became a comedian kind of by default right after my mom passed about 8 years ago. I didn't finish college, so I was kind of like in a crossroads on where I wanted to go. The economy was really down, so I mean, it was just really hard to get like, any type of job. You know, you really had to. So I just started thinking about some things, and I wanted to be an actor. So I came out here and I did an acting audition, and the man was like, "Well, what if the guy who interviewed me was like, well, what have you done? And I was like, well, I haven't done anything until you just invited me. So he was like, well, we got a couple black guys on our roster, and, you know, we don't, you're pretty good, but I think you should go somewhere else and then come back here because you don't have nothing on your resume. So to make a long story short, he pissed me off, and I was dating a girl at the time, and we were coming down from Burbank back to our hotel. So we ended up going down, ironically, going down Sunset Boulevard where the world-famous Comedy Store is, and it said open mic for comedians. And I said, I'm going to be a comedian, and I'm going to show him my resume one day, and it's going to be impeccable.
Okay.
That's basically why I became a comedian. I've been a comedian for 8 years.
You've and been that's a probably comedian for 8 years.
Yeah, professionally, I've probably been getting paid for 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, where all have you performed at? Can you name some of the places?
Yeah. Well, out here, I've been to the Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store, Flappers. I've been to the Ha Ha Cafe. I've done other side venues as far as like nightclubs with various comedians in Detroit. I've been to Mark Ridley's Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. I've been to the Gotham in New York. I've been to the Punchline in Atlanta. I've been to the Twisted Taco in Atlanta. I've done Tapas 255 in Atlanta. That's really popular. Quincy Bonds runs that down there. Quincy Bonds was a co-star on the hit show House of Pain with Tyler Perry. He played the character Pookie. So he has a venue, and he has comedy for kids, and it's called Fat Comedy. It's
fatcomedy.com. Quincy Bonds.
Yes. Yeah.
He's been on my show a couple of times. I had invited him tonight, as a matter of fact, but it didn't work out. But he's supposed to come out after Christmas holidays.
Absolutely.
On my show.
I mean, he's a great dude, busy man. He's helped me out with stage time and giving me some pointers along my way. It's like when I played basketball. I was an athlete in high school and college. When the coaches are talking to you and people are talking to you who are in the realm of success, that means you're going in the right direction. When people turn their back on you and stop talking to you, you might be in trouble. So I feel pretty good about my chances of building my brand. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're building your brand. You're out in Los Angeles, California. You're in the state of California where everything is happening for actors and comedians.
Right.
Are you enjoying it?
I am very happy. There are some days where I'm not necessarily unhappy. It's just like, you know, sometimes if the money don't work out, I mean, I'm 35 years old, so I'm a full adult male, so I have to figure out something, you know, like, and I'm knee-deep into the game, so a lot of times it's hard to find other little side work. I mean, you have to really learn to save and rely on your craft, and you need to stay busy and stay persistent. You know, so, I mean, I really am enjoying myself. I meet a lot of good people. Hollywood kind of gets a bad rap as far as being demonic or whatever, but, I mean, there's a lot of things outside of Hollywood that are demonic, so you can kind of point that finger at a lot of different entities, you know what I mean? If you love God like I do, you know what time it is. You don't have to run from anything. You know what happens when you get involved with certain things, no matter what it is. So, but I'm a happy person.
Okay.
Let me know if I'm talking too fast. I do that sometimes.
That's okay. Why did you become a comedian? What made you decide to become a comedian 8 years ago?
Well, I don't know. Initially, I mean, my motivation was, even in high school, I mean, like, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I was pretty popular, and for some reason people listened to me, or like people wanted to be around me. And I when I was younger, as an adolescent, I didn't know why, and I just feel that like I do have a gift, and hopefully I can figure out what God wants me to do with it. I thought that comedy was one of the things. As far as maybe I'm sure he's not really happy with some of my language, but just there's some of the messages I try to convey to people of hope, some things you should laugh at, the message of the truth. You know what I mean? I have a saying, well, you know, people say the truth hurts, and I always say that lies kill. So, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, if I say something on stage, it either happened or I meant it. I mean, I made it say it in a joking fashion, but I wasn't playing around. You know what I mean? Like, you ask me that off the record, I would tell you the same thing on how I feel. I just wouldn't be joking. You know, you choose whether you want to laugh at it or not. So I just think I have a message to give to the world, and comedy is just one of my ways of giving it to them.
Okay. So you feel that you have a message to give the world, and comedy is the way to give the world the message. Did you always know that you wanted to be a stand-up comedian? Was that something you always wanted to do?
Not at all. Every day I wake up and I pray. I'm surprised that I made it this far because it has been no picnic. I never thought, I was always a fan of Eddie Murphy's and Martin Lawrence and George Carlin and, you know, watching those guys. I was just a fan. So that's why I appreciate the comedy so much more now. You know, when you come up in the game, you do open mic and you go to comedy shows, a lot of comedians are not necessarily haters, but they have hater, I don't really like using the word hater, but I'll just use it just for our new millennium market, our speech. But there's a lot of people who have hater mannerisms. You know, like, if something's funny, man, you should laugh at it, but a lot of comedians, they're not, when they get into the game and they get a little fame or people start to follow them, they become not a fan, and I think that's kind of detrimental. You know, you should always be a fan of what you're doing, because how are you not going to be a fan of something you're doing and you want others to be a fan of it? That's very contradictory, and eventually people are going to catch on and unfollow you. So,
okay.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah. That's right. Just your opinion, okay. Do you write your own jokes?
Yes, ma'am. I actually, when we get off here, I'm going to put in some work. I write everything I've ever talked about. I've written it all. I got three notebooks full of stuff. Some stuff's hilarious. Some stuff I got to work on. You know, some stuff I'll never tell again, but I'll have it there just to humble myself, to know where I was 3 years ago, 7 months ago, or even a day ago. You know, I'll have it there, and I'll be like, oh, wow, what was I even thinking right then? You know, like, that wasn't, I'm not really sure. Like, I mean, you know, so, and then maybe it may become relevant, or maybe you'll see something walking down the street. I'm in Hollywood, so, you know, I mean, there's plenty of material there. You might be able to add to it and make it funny. So, but, yeah, I do write my own material. It's not always
you write
easy, but.
Own material.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not always easy, but it's helpful.
Do you act also?
Yeah, I just started the acting. I actually read for the infamous Robbie Reed, the vice president of BET. Shout out to Robbie Reed, very lovely lady. I read for a sitcom, Let's Stay Together, probably a few months back. Didn't get the part, but it was a very, very golden opportunity. Probably one of the highlights of my career, even though it was a failure, it was a success because I learned to take auditions more seriously. Acting is a whole different animal than being a comedian. So it helped. And just for somebody like that to have so much prestige, to know who you are and to believe in your talent is something that no one could ever take away from you.
That is true. That is very true.
Yeah.
So you're from Mobile, Alabama. You're from the South like I am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm from Florida.
All right.
So... do you think you'll ever return back to Mobile, Alabama? Do you ever visit there at all?
Not as much as I should. I haven't been back since my mom passed. I'll be honest with you. I don't have a real great relationship with some of my relatives. I mean, I do love them, but I have to love myself more. I'm in a position where, obviously, you have the power since you're the host and you invited me. So you can ask me whatever. But a lot of people don't give me the respect due. So, like, I mean, I really do want to go back to Mobile, do a show, and I want to see my family, but not at the expense of being annoyed.
Being a what?
You know what I'm saying? Being annoyed. Like, you know, like people, if someone annoys you, like, you know, like I don't want to have to answer questions or be questioned about, like, about my career or some of my dialogue or some of the material I'm covering, because this is just what I do for a living. I'm a comedian. You know, so that's one of the reasons. I mean, so to answer your question, I should go back more, but I really don't, because it's just sometimes I have to do what I got to do to keep peace of mind just for me.
Okay. All right, I understand that.
Yeah.
But maybe one day you will be able to you will feel comfortable and more at ease and be able to return to Mobile, Alabama, because I, after viewing your resume and your material and everything and deciding to have you on the show, you have a lot to offer the youth in Mobile, Alabama. So
you're so right about that.
The youth, because the thing about the South is they don't really truly get to see a lot of positive role models, and you're definitely a positive role model, so you can help the youth a lot, you know, when things, you know, you got to help yourself first, of course.
Absolutely.
You know, but maybe one day you'll
be
able to return and do something for the youth.
It would be my pleasure. And now that you bring that up, it makes me sound kind of selfish. I guess
I'm not trying to make you sound selfish at all. No, no. I'm just saying everybody has reasons to why they don't do what they do. I have my own reasons for doing the things that I do, but I'm just saying maybe one day when you have made it, because you're making it now, but when you have really made it, you can go back and reach out to some of the youth there in the South, in Mobile.
Absolutely.
No, I'm not trying to make you sound selfish at all.
No, you're right. I was just joking around, but it was I'm a comedian, so like I always try to stay, that's one of my flaws. I try to stay 3-4 steps ahead of folks, and like when I could just shut up, but I was like, man, wait a minute. But you're so right about that, you know, like, because the dialogue I shared and the dialogue you shared, I was like, yeah, she's right. But I mean, you're so right about that. I mean, there's certain things that I do want to do and I'm responsible for, because those black males and females down there, I mean, they need it. It's not a good situation in some of those, especially in my neighborhood. But it would be my pleasure. And you know what I mean? Like, it's something that I would be more than willing to do for free. Because I think it's important to, they say nothing's free, but I mean, sometimes you got to just buckle down and give people what they need and just have it be what it is. Like, if somebody wants to bless you with something, or, you know, if God wants to give you a blessing, it's fine, but you just know that your motives were there to educate and enlighten people and have it be a positive experience. So, yeah, you're right.
Okay. I was reading your bio, and it says that you do impersonation of Cat Williams, Bernie Mac, Chris Tucker, Tony Montana, Scarface, among others. Can I hear one of those impersonations of Cat Williams or Bernie Mac, Chris Tucker?
Which one would you like? I mean, I could do
Bernie Mac.
You do Bernie
I
Mac?
I always like him.
I do miss him a lot, and he was a huge influence because, you know, he kept it real, and I want to stay on that same platform. You know what I mean? But I can give you some Bernie Mac.
Okay.
Well, sometimes Angela Butler, you got to break people down. People talking about it's Merry Christmas. I find it funny that a fat white man is synonymous with Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? You got to get out here. You got to pray. You got to do things that make you successful. You mean what I'm saying? They talking about I'm dead. I'll never be dead because I'm a living legend. Who are you with?
You're funny. That does sound like Mr. Bernie Mac. I was always a fan of his.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys where, you know, when you're younger, you don't really realize maybe some of the power you had, and like men have these things called egos, and the unfortunate part about the ego is that it could go both ways. You know, like you know what I mean, like it could go really well, or it could go really to the left, you know, or south to the point where he's like, man, I'm in a position where I can't get out of it, you know, because you've allowed yourself to think that you're something that you're not, or, you know what I mean, you get involved in people that you shouldn't be involved with. But Bernie Mac had an aura about himself or a cadence about himself where people had to respect him. And, like, I mean, how can you not like this person? And even if you don't like him, you probably wouldn't say nothing. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, because, you know, he was intelligent, you know, and he demanded respect. And being from the South Side of Chicago, I'm sure he wasn't no joke either. So, you know, all that helps.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got some callers, and I'm going to go to the phones, okay?
Sure.
Hi, caller. Do you have any questions, or did you just call to listen? Club caller?
Yes.
Did you just call to listen?
I like your impression of Bernie Mac a while ago. That was kind of funny.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm calling from Wilson, North Carolina.
Okay.
It's my first time calling in, so really, I was just listening on.
All right. Well, thank you, caller.
All right.
Okay. Could you do another impression of Chris Tucker?
Yeah, I can do Chris Tucker.
Okay.
That's always a little higher, a harder one because his voice is so high-pitched, but you know what I mean? So, you know.
Man, we got some problems out here, man. We got Barack Obama trying to be the president, man. You know how hard it is to be a black president, man? You got white people trying to all up in your business. He just trying to sip a little cognac with Michelle and keep everything under wraps, man. We got to get these gas prices down, man. Me and Lee over in China, we trying to get it down. We trying to get everything down pat, man. I'm coming back to the comedy game, man. Me and Ice Cube, we going to get it together. We going to make another Friday, man. We going to touch this thing off, man.
You're funny. You're real funny.
Well, thank you.
So
this is probably one of the most laid-back interviews I've ever had. I like that.
One of the most laid-back interviews you've had. Okay.
Yeah.
You're funny. So you auditioned for one of the big, really big quills at BET.
Yes.
Can I ask, did you get the part?
No, I did not get the part.
Okay.
Did not get the part. But it was a great experience. Robbie Reed and I have a great relationship, professionally wise. I mean, she's easy to talk to, but she's no joke, man. She's one of those people. It's like my mom is dead, but like it's kind of like when she comes, like when she's somewhere and I'm thinking about acting up, when I see her, I'm like, man, I gotta wait till she leaves. You know, because she's always, I mean, it's like she's always watching me. Like, it's like when I'm thinking something, I shouldn't be thinking about it. It seems like she knows, you know, she's a great lady. I always try to send her an email or a Facebook message, just telling her thank you and just the appreciation. Like I told her when we had our meeting, you know, a lot of people have their opinions about my career or what I'm doing or how good I am. I mean, like, if you're not in any position of power, who cares what you think? You know what I mean? Real talk, like, what, like, who are you? Like, I mean, like, if you, like, I had a couple cats that I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan for quite some time, and I go to a barbershop, and all these cats in there got all these opinions about me, but they can't even take care of their kids. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sit here and let you butcher me and tell me where I need to work on stuff, or do I supposed to know that as a man? Like, I'm just confused on where we're going with this. You know, I mean, like, as a comedian, you should be careful. I mean, if you talk to me, you should be careful what you say, because I have a mic and I have a decent audience where I could really, you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at you, your situation. You look at me in my situation. I don't mind you saying what you say, but, I mean, I could take it one or two ways. You know what I mean? So it's just funny. So it was a good thing for Robbie to have any audition, number one, even if you don't get the part. Number two, just for someone who has an impeccable resume like she does, it's just incredible. I often wonder how she does it. You know, because it's hard for black women. And then, like, I mean, I've never seen her abuse her power. Like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
it is
always
difficult for black women. We have to be strong, and we have to be strong for one thing. Then we have to balance family and relationships and things like that. And it's not easy being a black woman. It's not easy
Some people
say black women come off as hard.
Right.
That they don't want to help anybody. They're selfish, and that's not true. Black women. Me as a black woman, I'm not selfish and I'm not hard, but I don't like to be used. I don't want to be abused. And I definitely, it's just a tough situation when you're a black female, because black women have big hearts. And I'm one of those women who will help you help you if I can. I won't try and shoot you down or bring you down. I embarrass you, you know. But I get a lot of, you know, static because I have this little radio show, and people don't seem to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know,
right? I mean, that's unfortunate for them, Angela. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I understand, and I have a, you know, we connected. I was reading one of the posts about the kid that had been lynched in Mississippi, and that should be a concern for the masses. And you know, not to get off of positive black women like yourself and Robbie Reed, but real quick, it's kind of funny that everybody is so concerned about what the Kardashians doing. And if the Lakers are winning the damn basketball game, they're not concerned about people who are getting lynched. That's what, and that's one of my issues is, as a comedian. Like, for those people who want to be ignorant, it's going to be short-lived when I'm in the house. It's going to be very short-lived. You might as well pack up and go ahead, because that's not a good thing, you know. And then we have a lot of whites who are claiming reverse discrimination. Well, I mean, I've been around black people a long time. And I don't really think that black people have any premise, ambition, or know how to be reverse discriminatory. I mean, like, if a black person doesn't like you, okay, let that black person, that particular black person, be ignorant and not like you because you look different. But, okay, let's look at it like this. Where did it come from? Nothing just happens. There's no such thing as a coincidence. You know what I mean? And there's never been any hate crime on record where a black dude went out and got away with antagonizing or killing or intimidating white people. And I say getting away with it. There's nothing on record for that.
There is no such thing as, to me, in my opinion, there's no such thing as racism against white people because of over 400 years of slavery.
Right.
And the fact that white Americans have been able to, a lot of white Americans have made it off the backs, the broken backs of the black slaves. When
Absolutely.
You have over 400 years of oppression and then another 100 years or more of segregation, there's no such thing as reverse racism. There is no such thing as that. There is no black person in the United States of America, in my opinion, that has the authority to really discriminate. I know we have a black president, but it's just not possible with all the lynchings that go on and different things and all the discrimination on the job, discrimination. The legal system, the discrimination in the legal system against blacks. There is no way that there can be a such thing as reverse discrimination, in my opinion. And I will never believe that. I won't.
Absolutely.
I refuse to believe that.
No, you're so right about that. And
there's too many lynchings. Too much job discrimination. There's too much too many blacks who don't get paid fairly. There are too many blacks who are out of jobs. You know, it's too many blacks that are homeless. We are only like 2-4% of the United States population. Just because we have a black president does not mean that we can discriminate. We're not in positions to discriminate.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that black people are poor or they're not successful. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is it's too much racism for there to be reverse discrimination.
Absolutely.
There are too many lynchings.
No, you're right about that, and I felt it was appropriate to bring it up. Number one, because I'm tired of hearing about it with no merit behind it. Like, I had a friend, just like being from Mobile, I'm not saying I mind white people being racist, but just admit it. You know what I mean? Just admit it. Don't be trying to hang around me and learn my mannerisms and trying to figure me out and trying to make me seem to make a heel out of me. You know, I had one cat I was hanging out with that I do extra work with, and he said here in L.A. there aren't a lot of Walmarts, so he wanted to go buy a fan over in Compton. Well, I'm not going to recommend anybody go to Compton, but usually if you're white in Compton, you're probably pretty safe. And that's an issue within itself, but enough about that. And he said, man, I walked into the Walmart, and I was kind of bewildered because it was structured weird, and I didn't know where the fans were. And I said, okay. He said, well, yeah, man, these black guys started looking at me, and one of the brothers said, like, hey, man, who let the popos up in here? Who let the popos up in here? Man, y'all tripping. Y'all got these white guys' popos right up in here. Okay. To end the story, number one, this dude used to be the police in Columbus, Ohio. Number two, he's an ex-Marine, and he looks like the police. So if you over in Compton trying, I mean, like, how, like he became upset about that. I mean, what about getting your butt whooped in two doors down from your house for no reason? What about going to jail for something you didn't do? What about all that? What about the lynchings? What about the Trayvon Martin case? They try to sweep that under the rug. What about the Genesis 6 thing? What about the way George W. Bush handled Hurricane Katrina? Those people are still misplaced.
Yes.
Look, I guarantee you ain't nobody in Sandy misplaced.
No.
Because the demographics was different.
That's right. And unfortunately for black people, and no one's going to agree with what I'm saying, whenever there's racism, there's always oppression for both sides, for black and
mm-hmm.
white, for the whites who are not real racist, and they're, and when there is no harmony between blacks and whites, it's real bad because when the economy's bad, they discriminate. When the economy's good, I mean, take this, Vincent, a black person that's been on the job 20 years, they
mm-hmm.
still have their job in this economy. And then white people say, oh, well, they just got their because of affirmative action, this and that. And that's not true. That's not true. Affirmative action is a good thing. It keeps checks and balances in the system.
Okay. I understand your position on affirmative action, but I mean, like for me, I mean, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I mean, I don't really like affirmative action because I'm just trying to get the playing field. I mean, the United States government is so powerful. Everything that's wrong right now, Angela Butler, could be changed immediately, especially the stuff that's very detrimental to us. Like, you know what I'm saying? You go in, you apply for a job, you work your way up to the top, or you do this or whatever, but there's no money in that. You know what I mean? Like everybody's looking for their cut. I mean, like the slave trade was about money. Everything. I mean, like discrimination, racism, and discrimination is about money. It has nothing to do with like. Let's look at this. The gay marriage thing has nothing to do with the moral being of being with the same sex person. It's all financial. It has nothing to do with. I mean, you mean to tell me there are no gay Republicans? Yeah, right. You mean to tell me there are no gay Catholics? Yeah, right. Yeah, right. It's all about money and who has control of this money and where it's going. That's just my personal opinion, but like as far as my research goes and what I'm seeing out here, I think I have a little bit of merit behind that opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm for affirmative action. I'm for anything that's going to help a brother and sister face less discrimination. Because
right.
of the history here in the United States of America. And I call them my brothers and sisters, even though some of them may not consider me their brother and sister.
Right.
But that's just the way I feel. Anything that's going to help an African-American or a black American get their foot in the door, I'm for it. But it's up to them to keep themselves in the door.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, like, you know, that's one of the reasons, you know, with a whole lot of things. I mean, I've had handouts before, but handouts kind of crippled me. So I just really want to just, I mean, like, I'm not saying I'm totally against affirmative action, but I would like for them to put something in place that's better. It's kind of like synonymous with chemotherapy and radiation. I think that there's
the
best solution.
Well, the way they do that
is
with reparations. If they really want to get rid of affirmative action, and put reparations in place.
Right.
Put reparations in place to pay the black people for over 400 years of slavery and over 100 and some years of segregation. We're talking 500
right.
to 600 years of oppression, discrimination, hate, murder, not amputation, but having feet cut off and things like that.
Right.
Give black people what they deserve, the money that they deserve
right.
that their ancestors did not get paid for. If they really
Absolutely.
Want to do away with affirmative action, put reparations in its place and give each individual family money.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they can
preserve
black history.
You're so right about that, and like I was saying before, I was comparing
that
it to cancer.
The playing field dramatically.
Yeah, I was comparing it to cancer, and I think like you said, that would be a great asset, and it would really help out the issue. And that would trump affirmative action. I was saying with cancer, like, they have to have a better solution to cancer than chemo and radiation. There has to be something. Like, all that money and all the years of research, and all y'all got is to burn something off and give you chemo to make you sicker. You know what I mean? So I think that there's a lot of things that we could do. But like my late mother used to say, "Oh, child, that's too much like right."
I'm not a racist. Yeah. I just know right for wrong. I'm not a racist, but I know right for wrong. And the Chinese, the Holocaust victims have gotten reparations. And they don't consider themselves victims. They consider themselves survivors, have gotten reparations. The Japanese. I mean, so why can black people not get reparations here in the United States of America for over 400 and another 100 and some years of oppression and continued discrimination?
No, you're right about that. Those are facts. Those are facts. Ain't nothing you can do about facts. You can't alter them.
Each family should be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it should not go to recreation. It shouldn't go to jobs. It should go to each family member for the money that their ancestors, their slaves that were slaves, did not get paid for thousands of hours of labor.
Right. Are you right about that?
Cause kidnapping from another country, such as South Africa, kidnapping is a crime. Enslaving somebody, not paying somebody, is a crime. I mean, you know, so why shouldn't black people get paid for it?
No, you're right.
For what was due to their ancestors. It's all crimes, according to the United States. So it's a crime to kidnap somebody from another country, bring them across the water on a boat. It's called kidnapping. Chopping off people's feet, such as in Alex Haley Ruth's Kunta Kinte, well, that's a crime, too. So they couldn't run away. That's a crime.
Yes, ma'am.
So they should be compensated.
Yes, ma'am.
Regardless of what time period it is, it doesn't matter how many white people or other people say, no, I don't feel that the white people in this current day and time did anything. It doesn't matter if they feel that way or not. I feel that they didn't do anything to them or not. It doesn't matter if the white people feel they didn't do anything because we have a black president. Reparations are due to black Americans, African Americans. It is due and it should be given.
Right.
And it should be given to each family. That's my opinion. But I got carried away. I don't normally do that. I don't know that's okay.
Sometimes it's an important event and it gets your point across. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, based upon our conversation, there is some light, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. You know, and like we really gotta. Also to add to the callers and the listeners, us black people need to get our stuff together and be the strong and have the backbone and integrity that should be instilled in our DNA. You know, and stop committing crimes and stop doing certain things and getting caught and killing each other in our own neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Because we know better. You know, and like people got to start speaking.
There's nothing wrong with what you said. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what you said about the crime. But sometimes people are set up.
Absolutely. No, you're right about that.
Sometimes people are set up, especially in the South.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
And the fact that the NAACP, now this was supposed to be a funny show, the fact that NAACP has come forward and is trying to get rid of death row is great. It's great because it's cruel. And they are right. The NAACP is right. It is cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, I mean, especially since we're the only ones getting fried. So it might be a good idea to be like, hey man, we might want to get rid of this. You know, we're not reaping anything. But it also there's a scripture in the Bible in Deuteronomy, chapter 32 where God speaks about we got to get more serious just for 2 seconds about the death penalty. And the unfortunate part is we've deviated away from that so far that it's kind of like a moot point, but God in Deuteronomy, and I think back then the judges ruled the land, the death penalty was okay, but you had to have two witnesses. And the two witnesses had to be of character. You know what I mean? You had to be of sound mind, and you actually had to be honest. So obviously, that doesn't even play in today's, especially in our court system. You know, like who are your witnesses, and did you know them? How much money do they have?
I was always that the police were not my friends because I was black. When the police came to the schools and they did the little things, my mother always taught me. My mother is a very strong black woman. She's a part of the Wall of Tolerance there in Montgomery, Alabama, the civil rights thing. Her name is on that wall. I have a civil rights leader who's in my family, who's my cousin, but I'm only like the third cousin. And what I'm telling you is that I'm not a racist, but give people what they're due. Be fair about it. Don't be ignorant about it. Reparations should be awarded.
No, you're so right about that. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not a racist either, and there are a lot of magnificent white people out there. There's a lot of magnificent Jewish people out there who led the fight of civil rights, lost their families, because they were trying to help litigate the certain things, and they were marching as well. And just imagine the stuff that they went through, because they looked like the enemy, but they still went in the law books, and some people even got killed. You know, there were people who had...
I was taught the police were not my friend. The legal system was not my friend because I was black, and that is true. They're not my friend. They're not really, even though there are black people in the police system and in the legal field, those are not my friends. Not talking about black people in general, but their job is to incarcerate, put people in prison, and punish people. When the police came to my elementary school, my mama said, "Baby, those are not your friends."
Yeah, that's right.
Not your friends.
Unfortunately, your mom had a point. Unfortunately.
Yeah. My mom's a very intelligent woman.
Absolutely. I never understood it. Like, you know, when I get to meet people, you know, I mean, in my job and even before I became anything in Hollywood or whatever I'm doing, I always wondered, I'm always flabbergasted when I meet a woman who doesn't have any intelligence. I mean, either she's hiding it well or she's just, I mean, because, like, I mean, you as a woman, especially if you're pretty, you really got to have your wit about you. You really do. Because people are coming for you. Especially if you're a woman of color, you always got to have, you got to be sharpened on your toes. You don't have to be mean or cruel about it, but you got to let people know that you know what's going on.
For all African American women, like I say, I'm not a racist. I may come across as a racist, but I'm not one. I just know what's right and what's wrong, and two wrongs don't make a right.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I mean, you make a lot of valid points. And I was saying, like, as a man, I don't have a – I'm a single person. Like, when you – one of the qualities, if you wanted to have a wife, that she has to possess intelligence, you know, well beyond anything physical. You know, like, I mean, you always have to have that as your main, you know, as your one of your common denominators. You know, God, intelligence, and obviously you have to be physically attracted to the person. You know, that helps. But you know what I mean? Like, people forget about that part. I think our reality TV and Facebook and Twitter have ruined that. But it is what it is, man. I mean, like, I mean, I can go on forever about that, man. I mean, I just think some people have lost their mind. And one of the things that really strikes me as crazy as women that I'm 35. Women that's 35. 40, 45, and 50 who post these crazy things on Facebook, and they're so lonely that they don't even care who they get attention from. And then all of a sudden they get a bite from a man or somebody comments, then they're shocked. You'd be like, well, did you see what you just wrote? You basically just, well, number one, you half naked, and basically you just invited any man who's free to come to your bedroom. That's exactly what your post just said. And now you're shocked that your comments are, you know, let me see it.
That has to do with self-esteem in women. That's about self-esteem. It's about self-esteem, and I'm not going to put my sisters down, the black female race down, but that's about self-esteem. It's all about self-esteem. It's about how you view yourselves. And you know, we as black people have a tendency to put each other down and to judge each other. But,
absolutely.
You know, that's just part, that's just the way it is. And I don't hate anyone for that. You know, I'm not against anyone for having their own opinions, their own ideas and things. But the black women who are doing that are simply not thinking correctly. Doesn't
right.
mean they're not intelligent.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's for me, it's material. But then at the end of the day, it is kind of sad because, like, I often wonder, like, people think I put crazy stuff on Facebook. Like, either I'm messing around or I pretty much mean it. So I mean, I'm not, because you know, once you say words or you write dialogue, it's out there. So it's nothing where I want to hide or I want to make people say, oh, they took it too serious. Like, oh, I was just joking. Like, I don't really care how people take it. It's up to you, man. If you think you know everything, if you want to break my Facebook post down to something that you thought that I thought was maybe racist or ignorant, then that's on you. I don't have a problem with that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I always encourage
people. The internet has definitely created opportunities, and it has its drawbacks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the internet and Facebook and Twitter and different sites like that have definitely created a new way of communication over the years. But it has its drawbacks. It does.
Absolutely. Right.
Everybody
like everything,
knows what you're doing when you post. Everybody knows when you're online, and everybody knows what you're doing. Your business, and you're really putting your business out there to the world.
You actually
but
really
the
are.
I do it. Is to get listeners for my show. I'm trying to grow my show, and I enjoy what I do with my little blog talk radio show. It may never be really big, but I really enjoy what I do, and I enjoy giving other people a voice and giving people a chance to get on the radio. Because the reason I started my show personally, and the reason I went on Facebook was to get listeners. That was the whole point, was to grow a fan base and to get listeners.
Okay.
That was why.
Okay.
That was the only way I had of reaching people from the small rural southern town that I am from.
Right.
That was the
okay.
internet was my only way of really getting myself out there and getting my name out there. Because without the internet, you know, I wouldn't have a show, because it's not like CBS or NBC is going to give me a show.
Right, that's right.
You know,
but you never know. I mean, you never know, man. If you do a good job, one of the great parts about putting yourself out there, you just never know. Anything could come from this conversation. Anything could come from any conversation. You just got to be willing to either say yes or no or just perhaps ignore it. But, you know, nothing happens for... I mean, nothing just happens, and everything happens for a reason.
That is true.
So
that is
that's
true,
one of the
sir.
Reasons I accepted, you know, like, and just, I'm a comedian, but, I mean, I'm a comedian only when I'm on stage. I'm not a comedian just walking around, because everything ain't funny. So it's okay to have I'm pretty serious as when it comes to serious stuff. You know, I'm not going to try to make jokes, like, oh, it's really not that bad, when it's actually terrible.
I know. I don't know if I'm going to get many listeners tomorrow night or not. I'm going to have on my show Mr. Ricky Jason. He did the biography on Mr. Bird. Mr. Bird, this is my second show on a killing. Second show about murder. By the Ku Klux Klan, and this one has definitely been proven. It's Mr. James Byrd, and he has been murdered in Jasper, Texas in 1998. He was drugged behind a truck. And
I remember that.
Yeah, and the person who did the documentary is going to be on my show tomorrow night, and it's going to be a hard show for me to do because I've had lynchings in my family. And but I'm going to do the show because I feel it's worthwhile and it's something that shouldn't be swept under the rug. And I'm real proud to be able to do this show with Mr. Ricky Jason tomorrow. I really hope he shows up because he pasted it on my Facebook page and I contacted him. And, you know, he's real intelligent. Mr. Jason is real intelligent, and he's worked with Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, no, not Dr. Martin. Martin Luther King III Barrett and different people like that on this film. And I'm looking forward to doing the show tomorrow night. So I hope everything goes as planned. And he does, you know, call in and everything. He sent me the emails. You know, so he has a documentary. I just won numerous awards. And so I'm hoping to work with him tomorrow night and interview him. It should be very interesting. It should be sad, tragic that they still do those things, but
And a lot of people don't know that, man. That's what I'm saying with that. Like, I mean, like, it's just, come on, man. Like, really? I mean, like, basically, if you're gonna turn a blind eye to it, I mean, you are racist. If you turn a blind eye to, I mean, like, come on now, like, really? It's just like, I mean, I know it's still a sore spot. And I have love for all races and all people who really want to do right. But, like, look at all those kids that were murdered brutally in that elementary school. That was terrible. It wasn't.
Yeah,
and I didn't think it was any less or any less crazy because of the denomination. I mean, the demographic of the area. But it was just not a good thing. Very, very negative. Very.
Well, it makes you wonder who you should fear. You know, the black man was always the target for years to be feared, and now you've got all these lunatic white men going on sprees killing people. You know, so it makes you wonder who should you fear.
The black man was feared
for years. You know, I would see people going on the other side of the road when I visit places like New York and City, going on the other part of the sidewalk, pulling their coats together, clutching their pocketbooks. And I'm thinking to myself, when I went to New York and different places, and I'm thinking to myself, now who do you fear? Somebody who looks like you, I guess, you know, but that's my opinion.
That's right. Yeah, but no, this is great. And back to your other point with the Jasper, Texas lynching. Did you know that Dennis Rodman paid for that funeral? He didn't even know the family.
Okay.
And he was playing for the Chicago Bulls, and Dennis Rodman gets a bad reputation. He came out of his pocket, and he paid for the family. I'm sure he probably gave the family some reparations because, just to try to, try to help them out in any way they can, but he paid for everything. Yeah. When he was actually playing for the Bulls at the time, he was a world champion. He took time out of his day to go write a check. That's good stuff. You know, big ups to Dennis Rodman for that.
That's wonderful. That was very noble of him.
Absolutely.
He'll be blessed for it. All right. I never did take a break during this show. You have to forgive me for talking you to death. I'm surprised that talked as much as I did on the show tonight. Maybe talked too much. I hope I didn't offend anyone with my points of views and everything. But those are my points of views and those are my feelings. So, but what really made me talk when you said that about reparations? Not reparations, but affirmative action.
All right.
Is there any? Would you like to tell my listeners where they can go to see you perform at? Back to the show.
Absolutely. as of tonight, I'm no longer a comedian. I'm going to be stripping at Tippendale's. No, I'm joking.
Tippendale's. Okay.
I'm done with it. I'm done. No, I'm joking. I have a couple of shows lined up before the new year. I'm going to be at the Comedy Madhouse in San Diego, California, Thursday, December 27th at 8 o'clock. That's in San Diego, California. Madhouse Comedy Club, great venue. Big Mike is the producer of the show. Then December 30th, I'll be at Flappers in Burbank, California. That's a showtime of 9 p.m. Flappers is a great venue. The producer of this show is Mr. Martin Harris. He's helping us comedians out, trying to get us signed to major deals. Flappers is probably one of my top five venues in the whole country that I've been to. Great food, great drinks, nice stage. So it's a comedian's dream, so I always want to do a good job there. Other than that, I'll just be working hard, hitting meetings, being told no a lot, waiting on a yes. And, that's about it. And I have a Twitter. My name is @ElijahHoward. That's ElijahHoward, all one word. That's my Twitter. Follow me. If you have a picture and you're sane, I'll follow you back. Other than that, keep it moving. You know what I mean? hold on. Right before we go, I had a cat hit me up on Twitter. Technically, I mind my own business, but since I'm a comedian, I do have to pry a little bit. But maybe a few months ago, before I knew about what Cat Williams had done and all the stuff he had gotten into, he followed me on Twitter and I followed him, and I was just telling him how much I admired him or whatever. You know, like, I mean, Cat Williams is the man. Unfortunately, he's gotten to some things that I'm not really sure, but something has rattled his spirit that's not positive, and I want everybody to pray for Cat Williams to get better because he is a good dude. But anyway, some cat retweeted and was like, well, I guess your standards are low, Elijah Howard. And I said, I guess so, man. Thanks for sharing. And he was like, no problem. So my ego side and my street side, my mobile side, wanted to let him know a couple of things, but I think that's kind of sissy-like for another man to be bantering with another man or via the, anyway, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not really a tongue wrestler when it comes to anybody, or especially men. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit up here and talk to you about something, but I just found it funny that this man didn't even know Cat Williams, or he doesn't know. The only thing he knows about what the media told him, and he just took it upon me. Like, he doesn't know the relationship between me and Cat Williams, and he wanted to dip his nose into it and say that I got low standards. Well, maybe I do, but Cat Williams has worked hard, and he just made some mistakes like we all do, and I wish him the best, and him and his family, and I want him just to be blessed, man, and just forget about comedy, because comedy will always be there. If you abuse your family and your loved ones, they may not always be there. You understand what I'm saying? So because people will walk out of your life. Unfortunately, yeah. They'll come back in when they want something, but people will walk off. So I want to wish Cat Williams the best, and everybody out there that's doing positive things and want to know the truth and want to live a life of great expectation. You know, like, you know what I mean? You'll always have a supporter of me. You know what I mean? So I want to thank you for having me on. I had a great time.
For listening to me go on about what I did. Sorry, I just got a little carried away, but that is the way I feel.
You don't have to apologize. maybe it was something I needed to learn, you know, that I didn't really know at that particular time. You know, you take each opportunity as something to learn by, and then, you know, things would be much better in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler, Mr. Elijah Howard. I've enjoyed you, and thank you very much. And enjoy California and the sunshine in California. I look forward to seeing you in more films and hopefully seeing you on BET Comic View one day.
I want that, too. Thank you.
And Mr. Q Barnes, the man from House of Pain, is a great person. He really is.
He is a good guy.
Yes, he is. And you're working with a great person.
Yeah, and if you guys out there go to if you want to know anything about Quincy Barnes, he's doing the comedy for the kids now as well. Go to www.fatcomedy.com, and all his information is out there. The guy's resume is impeccable. He's building his brand as well, and they're staying positive, you know?
Okay, so. Yes, he's supposed to be on my show after Christmas, after the new year. He's been on twice. I enjoy interviewing him, too. I find him to be very intelligent.
Absolutely.
You're working with a great guy again, I say. All right, I've got 90 seconds left. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I just want everybody to just enjoy. I know the holiday season is up, and everybody's putting a lot of pressure on themselves, but, man, take a break. Relax. You know, life is grand. You wake up in the morning or whenever you decide to wake up, just be happy because it was somebody who didn't make it. Don't put a lot of pressure on yourself for Christmas and New Year's and all this stuff. And, you know, make sure you love yourself. It'll be a lot easier for people to love you back.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Elijah Howard. We have 37 seconds. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Listeners, I hope I didn't talk you to death. listeners, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
My little show. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Goodbye. Good night, listeners. Have a Merry Christmas, and I look forward to doing another show. All right. Good night, everyone, and happy Kwanzaa. I'm sorry. Bye.